Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien, and we have a guest today, Angel Jean. I said that
Hi.
Right.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
We are back with more Discovery.
More Discovery.
Are you ready to discover?
37 minutes of Discovery.
All 37 minutes. We are caught between a box in a hard place.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Ah, all of the, I just keep on coming up with them.
Yeah, you do. Too bad we weren't stuck between Tuvok.
Tuvok.
Oh, yeah. No.
So this episode is Vaulting Ambition. Very interesting episode. But we do have a little bit of news before we jump into the main course of the show. Right, Dave?
Yes, we do. Our old friend Larry Nemechek has reached out to us. He's been on our show a couple times before in the past, and he's got a new podcast coming out. It's going to be debuting on Tuesday, January 23rd, and it's called The Trek Files. It'll be a weekly deep look into the mostly unseen archives of Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry. Each episode will be about 15 minutes, and Larry will be joined by a guest to examine a specially selected document of the week. So that's pretty exciting. Larry's a huge wealth of Star Trek knowledge, so you should definitely check that out. It's called The Trek Files. You can find them on Facebook at The Trek Files and at Roddenberry Podcast. It's podcast.com. I'm sorry, it's podcasts.roddenberry.com.
Yeah, and Larry is just he's just like an encyclopedia of Star Trek, and he has a lot of behind the scene knowledge of a lot of these shows that went on. So
I can't wait for his movie, The Con of Wrath.
Yeah, yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Somebody else I'm not gonna be able to chit chat with because way over my head.
Yeah, well, he's a fun guy.
He's a lot of fun to talk to.
You put him in front of a mic and he just keeps going. So
oh well, I'm more than willing to listen.
Yeah.
He's good. So, Vaulting Ambition. This is an interesting episode.
There's a lot going on in this episode.
Even though it's only 37 minutes.
Even 37 minutes. But, you know, this, real quickly, spoiler-free, what is everyone's takeaway without spoiling this to anybody who has not seen this episode?
Start with you, Angel.
Saw it coming, didn't see it coming, kind of OMG, and a lot of stuff I wasn't expecting at all, actually.
Hmm. Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a fun episode, Dave.
I liked it a lot better than last week's episode, even though some of my fears have been confirmed. Saw some other things kind of came out of left field for me this episode, which I guess we'll get into a little bit later. But overall, I definitely liked it a lot more than The Wolf Inside, even though some of the things I didn't want to happen happened. But it was still a lot of fun. Seeing Michelle Yeoh again, it was awesome. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah. Good episode. It moved along a lot faster than the last episode. And it had, I think, all the twists and turns, a few that I didn't expect, and some nice scenes as well. So I enjoyed it. Good episode.
I aesthetically enjoyed it. I love looking at the costuming and the background scenes. Like, I'm just analyzing, like, Stamets' outfit versus Giorgio's outfit. And okay, I'm a girl. Sorry.
It's okay. There's many reasons why everybody tunes in. Some are for costumes, some is for makeup, some are for the explosions, you know? So everyone's got their own reasons why they tune into certain things.
Absolutely. And wow, that ship. I don't understand that ship. I need to talk to the Trek Yards guys. My brain's a little bit broken.
Well, I'm sure their brains are broken too.
Yeah,
but should we get into Vaulting Ambitions, full spoilers, before we talk into all that stuff?
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so full spoilers. If you have not seen Vaulting Ambitions, Star Trek Discovery, turn off this podcast now. And if you just don't care, go ahead and keep on listening. And if you have seen it, you know, enjoy it with us.
Yeah, if you're living vicariously through us, keep going. Keep listening.
Please do that, because that's a sad existence.
We love right, you.
So, we do, but, you know, we're kind of sad too. But anyways, Vaulting Ambitions, Season 1, Episode 12. This is aired on January 21st, 2018. So we are back with the ISS Shinzo with a transport leaving, bringing Michael Berman and Lorca to the ISS Charon. This is the Emperor ship.
Well, that's
as Dave Yersing.
Yeah, yes. And that's one thing that really made me scratch my head, because wasn't the ship like just there in orbit?
I don't know. It seems like there's
were they able to shoot torpedoes from like light years away?
Well, I mean, if you go back to Into Darkness, I mean, they were going to shoot those quantum torpedoes towards Kronos, so I mean, it's possible.
That's true, but those torpedoes were like coffin sized, and for a reason.
You don't know. There could have been people in that, too. We don't know. So Saru managed to decrypt the information on the USS Defiant, but most of that had been redacted. And the data that was available, so whatever data was available from the Defiant is kind of masked in this mirror universe. But Lorca believes once they get to the ISS Charon that they can get some of that information on the Defiant. Berman gives Lorca some a numbing agent. So he won't feel the most pain in the agonizer booths.
A full body Novocaine shot.
I have issues with that.
I would just use that all day long if I had the choice.
For later on, I have issues with that.
Super delighted.
And then Berman confesses that she's worried about meeting Giorgio again. She's makes the comment, "Aren't you have never been afraid of a ghost?" So there's, which is obvious, you know, makes sense. I mean, the last time she saw her captain was killed by a Klingon, you know, and she, you know, mutinied and Vulcan neck pinched her and did all sorts of bad things beforehand. So,
stabbed to the heart.
Yeah. I mean, so, well, I don't know if she got her through stabbed to the heart.
But by starting the whole thing, she got her stabbed to the heart, sort of.
Yeah.
And suggesting the plan that, hey, let's kidnap Takuvma.
I'm quite impressed with her. I don't know if they're trying to beat another popular show with her quite extensive official name.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, this Most Imperial Majesty, Mother of the Fatherland, Overlord of Vulcan, Dominus of Klonos.
Mother of Dragons. Oh, wait, no.
Philippa du jour, Augustus, was it Iponius Centaurus? I need to start looking this stuff up. I assume other names must mean something.
I'm sure they do, but I don't know what they mean. But it is... Yeah, she's pretty impressive. So that's where we leave the shuttles on their way to see them. Next on Discovery, Tilly and Saru are talking about Stamets' condition. I guess he's looking a little better. His skin color looks better. And
he's simply Tilly's greasy, or whatever she said.
Dewy.
Greasy, whatever.
Whatever.
His skin's emitting something. It's probably grease, not dew. But, you know.
Well, he brings up that... Tilly brings out that something's happening in Stamets' head, and we just need to let it happen. Saru just makes say whatever's happening's got to happen faster. And if Berman can't figure out where the Defiant is, and the spore drive might be the only way to get them home. So, but then Saru is whisked away by emergency call from sickbay, and he has to go attend to Ash Tyler, which is freaking out.
Then we go inside of Stamets' head.
Yeah, this is great. So inside the mycelium network, Stamets is talking with his mirror universe self, which he really isn't aware of what he's up against with the mirror universe. Say again?
Like, while you were sleeping.
Yeah. I've been walking around here. Mirror universe Stamets says that, they shake hands with the prime Stamets, and they're transported to a recreation of the Discovery. I thought that was kind of a weird choice, don't you? That they were kind of like, let's just go back to the set where you're most comfortable.
Well, it's that's also to save money, because they can't keep rendering all that CGI fungus forever.
Sure, but couldn't they do like maybe his home where he was born or something like that?
That's a new set that costs money.
What? They could just use a CBS set. Hey, we're using this for a day.
Oh, yeah, let's just go to a Law and Order set.
Yeah, go to Law and Order. Use that or whatever.
It wouldn't look it wouldn't look futuristic enough, but...
That's true. Maybe
put a hologram in.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. Anyway, so
they need him there because they need him to go... Mirror Universe Stamets needs regular Stamets to help wake him up,
sure,
which is why they went there.
It seems like he's mining prime Stamets for information on the mycelium network, so... Mm-hmm. But anyways, the Mirror Universe explains that he's ended up here at experiments that went wrong in his universe, and his physical body is also in a coma.
I'm surprised it's also not in an agonizer booth.
He could be.
Just for fun, you know?
Huh. Yeah.
What's a coma victim? What's a coma victim doing an agonizer booth? That's that'd be a fun trick.
I'm sure all these things have been tried in the Mirror Universe. So he's been trying to reach out to Prime Stamets, and that's Prime Stamets kind of says, oh, that's why I've been seeing all these flashes about this universe. So he's like, it's all coming together. Like, I saw the palace, and I saw all these other things that are happening. So
there's a couple little scenes where they explain things, and it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of nice that they explained it. I mean, it kind of made sense to me. I mean, the couple things they explained in this episode, I liked that they explained it, but at the same time, I kind of already assumed that was the case anyway. This sure. And something that Laurel says later.
Yeah. So then we go forward. Basically, Mirror Stamets wants Primus Stamets to navigate him out of this this network, but there's a corruption in the network. So there's something going wrong. There's some kind of rot going on with the mycelium network, or something's going on with their, at least on their ship. And apparently the Mirror Stamets got like taken away and lost in within the network for days. And so while they're running from this corruption that's coming going through the ship, they escape to engineering. And this is where the Stamets are trying to get their way out. They're trying to figure their way out. And Prime Stamets kind of explains to Mirror Stamets how they got there. So interesting scene, and I was finally happy to see Stamets back in action.
I was happy to see Stamets back in action too. I was almost kind of waiting for Mira Stamets to be like, is that a Klingon ship? Because I wouldn't have assumed they would even see Klingon ships that big in the mirrored universe, with, you know, how much they've been beating down all the other races, you know.
Right. Well, if anything, Mirror Universe always plays it cool, and they act sly until they can, you know, strike. So and then we finally get the palace ship. This is the ISS Charon, and Berman Lorkin are brought before the Emperor in her Great Hall.
Is that a sun it's built around? Is this thing bigger than a Dyson sphere?
I don't know what that thing is.
A Dyson sphere is built around a sun. The sun's like inside of it.
Yeah, I know, but that would just be a shell around the sun. This has got open vents to it, but this is like, it looks like it would be even bigger than a Dyson sphere. Well, maybe it's not one AU shell.
People
but
with
still
that issue should not park next to a sun.
Well, it's like they're parking around the sun, unless that's just some kind of energy source they're harnessing that looks like a sun. But even on the computer graphs that you see inside the ship later on, they're showing that star or whatever that is in the middle of it.
It could be a red dwarf, but still, the idea, the immense size of that would be unfathomable. And then also the gravity around a red dwarf is so incredible. It just seems too much. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something else going on, but that would be some incredible tech if they can do that.
And even if Spock... What was it, Angel?
That means like the ultimate solar power or something.
Those panels are killer.
The best solar power. No, but at the same time, you know, even if, you know, in the original Mirror episode in TOS, Spock goes to, you know, he does something and I don't see how it could really destabilize that culture with the power that they have. I don't understand how they became under the heel of all the other races like they were in Deep Space Nine. That just doesn't make a lot of sense when they've got this kind of power that they can build around maybe a star. Maybe it's not a star. I don't know. It looked like a star to me.
Well, I got to disagree with you, Dave. This is my problem with Mirror Universe and Klingon culture. I just don't think always looking over your back and betrayal is the only way to raise the ranks. That's no way to build a sustainable culture.
But just, Giorgio said it's been around for thousands of years. So, like,
I know
this universe has been this way since, like,
Roman Empire?
Pre-Roman Empire.
Well, I mean, it's probably been a long time, but whatever the real reason is, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It
would be very difficult.
It's crazy.
Mirror Universe isn't just an excuse to do whatever and just say, oh, it's because we're in the Mirror Universe.
But man, like, I don't know. But if they were that, like, racist and stuff way back then, I don't understand how they have, you know, an Asian emperor and a black captain. If they were that horrible, that had to have come from somewhere, the racism. You know what I mean? If you think about it going back that far.
It might be
someone else. I mean, an Asian and an African American is still humans versus non-humans.
Sure, but I mean, like, the if the if they were that, if they had that much hatred back thousands of years, it's a wonder they didn't stomp out the other races with their racism going back that far. You know what I mean?
Maybe possibly, just as this is purely conjecture, maybe they came across a contact with aliens when they were, you know, like a young race, you know, like humans, you know, ancient aliens kind of stuff. And that, you know, fueled the xenophobia ever, you know, forward.
Well, the Enterprise Mirror episode starts off with First Contact, and then they just shoot the Vulcans, and they take the right. ship.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, so, oh, we stole this. We stole these Vulcan ships, these bastards.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I just have funny. Some logistical questions about how the Mirror Universe works, because before people theorized that Kirk going back in time through the Guardian of Forever caused a split there, and it split from like World War II time went forward. But from what Giorgio said, it's been that way for much longer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If his girlfriend would have lived and Nazism would have reigned.
Yeah, that people theorize that was the split, but Giorgio's like, no, we've had this way of life for thousands of years. I'm like, wow. It's crazy.
Well, maybe, or maybe that's just propaganda too. So who hell knows?
That's true.
Anyway, so we get the palace ship, and so the Giorgio off, you know, as it welcomes Captain Burnham back to, you know, her ship, and then she offers one of any three Kelpian slaves to Burnham, and she hesitates for a moment, then chooses. It looks like a Saru, but
Saru should be back on the Shinzo.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who it is, but
I guess only a couple. Yeah, Saru's brother.
I don't want to sound racist, but Kelpians do kind of look all alike. So
I don't know where these like threat gangly are. Like I never see them threatened by anybody. Like where's the little warning ganglia?
I don't know, but you know.
Maybe in the Mirror Universe, they're just so scared all the time they don't even bother shooting them out. It's just like, what's the point, really?
Okay,
right. So he chooses Lorca. You know, I mean, she chooses a Kelpian
for dinner. Apparently, it's like a Chinese restaurant where you get to pick what you eat.
Which we don't know. I when I first saw it, I thought it was like a slave, another slave. Oh, here's another Kelpian slave for you. I was like, thank you.
No, so this is full on Chinese restaurant.
Yes, I know. This is pretty bad. So Lorca is brought to Giorgio, and he refuses to bow to Giorgio, and then Giorgio just basically beats him down and promises he'll live a long life in the agonizer booths, and then he's taken away.
And he smiles again.
He's like, loves it. Giorgio says he's glad.
She injected him with that agent. Anesthetizing agent.
Still, right. I just can't believe.
It's like it lasts forever.
I just have a hard time buying Lorca just wanting to go to these agonizer booths.
He had a plan.
He did have a plan, for sure. Giorgio was happy to see Burnham did not die chasing Lorca, and then she promises everything will the way it was. And then she refers to Burnham as her daughter. So we have a different person who's, you know, adopted Michael. So
yeah, that came as a surprise to me, because I was really hoping for like the lover angle, and that's why I was hoping there'd be a lot more drama between them.
Yeah, what is that?
I totally called that wrong, but I was really hoping for that, because it would have been so much more of a complicated relationship.
That would just be disturbed. That would be probably more disturbing than Saru giving Burnham that bath in the last episode.
I know, but that's why I was hoping for it, because the Mirror Universe, they do weird stuff, and like then.
Well, don't worry, it still gets uncomfortable when she's got to eat a Kelpian later. So
it's a threat gangly. It's my favorite part. Here, you can have it.
So back on Discovery, Tyler's screaming Klingon and cursing the humans, and the doctors don't know how to fix Tyler. And Tyler has, you know, Tyler's personality reemerges for a second and asks Saru, you know, if
please help me. Is Michael okay?
Is Michael okay? And then, you know, he says, yeah, she's fine. And then he starts screaming again. And then we get a scene where Lorca is thrown at the agonizer booth again. So Lorca's back home, where he enjoys to be in the agonizer booth.
Faking it.
He can't stop coming.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Well, while Lorca's, you know, having fun in the agonizer booth, Burnham and Giorgio are eating fresh Kelpien, and the Emperor offers Berman a taste of delicious Gangula, and I hope she never tells Saru what she just ate. So.
Oh, man. Ugh. I can't wait for her to come back. It's like, yeah, your Gangli are really good.
Yeah. Every time that Gangula comes out, she starts going...
She licks her lips. Man. Okay, the last episode she was talking about how much this place was going to rub off on her. You know, maybe she will get hungry for Kelpien later.
It'd be funny if she's always hungry every time she sees Saru.
She's like, do your ganglia, do they grow back like hair? Can you cut those and do they grow back?
Can you put some butter on that ganglia?
Asking for a friend.
Can we put some butter on that gangula, please? Mm. It'd be so delicious.
It's like lobster.
So,
I just want the random face licking. Just grab his face, just lick it occasionally.
Oh my god.
Lick
so
the back
anyways,
of his head. Like try to get up in there with a ganglia hide.
That was a really disturbing scene. Because, I mean, it'd almost be like, you know, you're having dinner and you're enjoying it. And then someone goes, oh, you're enjoying that? Well, this is, you know, your best friend or this is your cat or something.
It would be like, you know, Kirk, you know, being at the Emperor with the dinner and them serving Spock's ears or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or what was the South Park where he tricks his the kid who sold him the pubes?
Yeah, and he eating his own parents
and
chili.
Had him put him in chili. Yeah.
She's trying to pass herself, though. She's not doing a very good job because she's just showing it on her face.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that's taken it to a new level.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, you got to commit to your acting.
I guess, but I mean, if someone told me, he's like, this is your friend, you know, you're eating him.
It's your brother who just bathed you just the other day.
Yeah. Enjoy. Yeah, I'd be like,
oh, I'm somewhere.
No one's in character better than Lorca.
Yeah. Glorka does pretty good. So all of a sudden, Giorgio wants to know why Berman left and why she was so hesitant to attack these rebels. And Berman starts telling a story about Lorca having spies aboard Sharon, you know, the ISS Sharon or the palace ship. But Georgia believes that Berman is conspiring with Lorca to overthrow her. Then Georgia pulls out the knife and puts it to Berman's throat. And she says, well, we're going to put you on formal charges of treason, punishable by death. And she's going to take her to the main hall to face her fate with her and her...
A semi-public execution.
Yeah. Well,
only with her guards, though.
I thought they were her, not guards, but her...
Her staff?
Not staff. They were like council. That's what they were. Their council, yeah. They were going to get together with their council. So, but anyways, that was surprising because it seemed like it got kind of lovey-dovey between Giorgio and Berman all of a sudden. And then all of a sudden it was like knife to throw. So we're back in typical Mirror Universe, mm-hmm. Territory. So... Back with Stamets and Stamets, they're trying to work their way out of the network. And Prime Stamets finds out what's affecting. It finds that there's something affecting Mir Stamets' arm, and it's a type of rot within the network itself, the mycelium network. And he says it's a side effect for being in this mycelium network too long. And then Stamets catches a glimpse of Dr. Culber and starts following him. And Mirror Universe tells him not to go after him, but he chases after him anyways.
And that was a weird, like, Scooby-Doo-esque sequence where he's, like, running through corridors, dodging through doors, and seeing, that like, just the back of him.
If he's going to be jogging, he needs the disco shirt.
Yeah.
He's going to be jogging the hallway.
It was interesting. It was kind of creepy seeing him, that white figure walk through the hallways.
Yeah, because that uniform was so white. It's so weird. But, yeah, and it was all dark, too. It was an effective scene.
Yeah, it felt like kind of a ghost going through, like, the ship or something like that. But,
That's why he wears white.
Well, I mean, medical wearing white, it's not necessarily a new idea.
It's not a great idea with all the blood going around, but...
I never understood why people, like...
White outfits.
Yeah, that's right.
They should wear red outfits.
Yeah. Hides all the blood.
Exactly. Hide the blood.
So, back to the palace ship, Giorgio says that because she loves Berman, she's going to give her a quick, merciful death.
Instead of hours and days in the agonizer booth.
But Berman tells the Emperor Giorgio that she is not the Michael Berman that she knows. And she basically shows her the Prime Universe's Giorgio's Starfleet dog tag. And there we have the quantum signature from the Prime Universe is proof. And once she reads the quantum signature, she kills everyone in the room with some kind of weird ninja star thing.
It's like the scene from the end of Wanted where Angelina Jolie curves the bullet and kills everyone in a big circle.
Yeah, yeah. And
except for the one guy, he lived. Yeah. Can you keep a secret? Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes.
Anything you say.
Lord Ailing, Governor of Andor now?
Sure, yeah, that works. I'll keep my mouth shut. That works.
Anything you want. Anything you want. Just don't throw that at me.
She said his name the first time around when she had him search the pocket, which I don't know how much he enjoyed searching the pocket, but I was like, she said his name, so I think he's going to mean something in a few minutes.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, apparently she liked him other than the other people, so she probably had reasons to kill them anyways, knowing the mirror universe. But there we go. The Emperor wants to know all about the Federation. And then we jump back to Saru visiting Laurel in the brig, and he tells that LaRue's... He says, Tyler thinks he's a Klingon. Did you do something to him? And Saru asked for... Yeah, so Saru asked for Laurel's help, and she says she won't help. And Saru tells her that we're in a parallel universe, and the war is over. The Klingons have lost. Laurel doesn't believe him and says the real... basically explains that the real Ash Tyler is captured at the Battle of Binary Stars, and they harvest... Tyler's DNA and grafted it into Vok.
Wait, so he was captured. He didn't, like, pass away or anything? He's potentially alive in the other universe still?
I think he's dead. I think he's dead. They harvested his DNA. They harvested his memories. And then
there's not, like, a bunch of Tylers, like a mirror Tyler and a live Tyler and a Vok Tyler and just Tylers all over the place?
There might be more than one Tyler, but the real issue, I think, is that it sounds like he hacked apart Ash Tyler and then grafted Vok into him. So it's kind of like pushed them together. Like, you know, you got the peanut butter and the chocolate, put them together, you get a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
And that's what we get for
Vok. But the thing is, they said they shortened Vok's bones, so it's supposed to be Vok's body. They just, like, they used the DNA sequencing that they had from, like, the Klingon augment virus and just, you know, made him read as human, read as Tyler, and then they grafted his engram. So I figured they would just discard what's left of Tyler. I don't know why Klingons would keep it around.
In the TNG episode when Worf had his spine injury, like... They just, like, removed an extra heart and a bunch of extra lungs. Like, they really committed to, like, making this guy pass. So, like, yeah. Just take all your organs out.
And their ribs are also designed like armor, so they had to cut out all the different things holding all the extra parts of the ribs, too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly how that exactly works. I mean...
But the way she explained it was pretty much how I thought it would have worked. They just put his engrams over top of Vok.
Yeah, but it sounds like she said that she kind of pushed them together. Like, I don't know exactly how that works, but I don't know.
Maybe they scooped out some of his organs and put them into Vok. It's more specific than we've gotten so far, but it's still vague.
Mm-hmm. Still vague, and it's really... This is... Like, I've said this a million times before on our show. Like, two alien races coming together in any form is... Totally ludicrous because
but we're not our alien DNA's... races. We were all seeded by the same alien, like in the TNG episode. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, I couldn't handle those aliens.
You couldn't handle them?
That episode, you know, you all put all the little pieces of the artifact together and you just get a message.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kumbaya message. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's related.
Ooh. That's why you're all bipedal.
We seeded
that's
the universe.
Why you can, and that's why you can breed with each other.
Mm-hmm. That makes at least a little sense.
Yeah, see, they covered their bases.
You're supposed to clear it, though, with your chief medical officer, though.
Yeah, yes, yeah, it helps. That helps.
It helps, you know. But anyways, so yes, that's where we get the reasons why Ash Tyler and Vok are together, or whatever they are.
Ash and Vok together forever, true love.
Together forever.
My wench that brings us here together today. That bless the wenchman that brings Klingon and Human together today.
So back on the Mycelium Network, Stamets chases Culber through the halls, and he winds up back in their quarters. And this is where he finally meets Culber. So, like they did say, Culber does come back, and he does have a scene. So, and Culber tells Stamets that he died. That he's got to try to work working through that.
And then it's like, oh, I want it how it used to be. And then they're together brushing their teeth again. And Stamets says one of the strangest things I've ever heard of. This was my favorite time with you. I'm like, really? Brushing your teeth? That's like the weirdest time. That was my favorite time with you.
People like, you know, they wind up their day and how they end their day. Some people like that.
Yeah.
I still get it. Like, was he hallucinating? Is this like the afterlife? It's the afterlife. Like, where are all the other dead people? Like, it doesn't quite come together for me as to why he was there with Stamets.
That I wondered too, is like, did somehow he become part of the mycelium network?
He said he understood that Mir Stamets was like, you know, started figuring out that he was sending him the images. So was he like, even though he's like comatose, was he aware of what Tyler was doing? Like, and he's just like manifesting that in his mind as Hugh, because I can't see where he fits into this.
I think it's a little bit of, they said the mycelium network connects everything with that's alive and life. And he says he remembers being held, and Stamets also says he remembers holding him too. We saw in the last. So they said they both remember it. So maybe Stamets is aware, but only subconsciously aware of what's happening in the real world. And basically,
like Admiral Cornwall and all kinds of people showing up there.
Yeah, so
they're all just showing up. You're like, get out of my room.
Like, hey, we're gonna hang out here for a while.
it's like one of those subconscious things where people see their dead friend or whatever, but it's just their own subconscious.
I still enjoyed a little bit more of Hugh.
Yeah, no, I was really upset that they killed Hugh, and I really wanted to see Stamets and Hugh together more. I thought
there's still a weird one hanging out somewhere, right?
Maybe. Quite possibly.
Okay.
Culbert does assure Stamets that nothing in here is ever truly gone. So I don't know what that exactly means. Like, maybe they live on in some parallel universe, or maybe there's echoes with them within the mycelium network.
Or maybe mycelium network also has ties to the afterlife too somehow.
Or maybe the mycelium network is the afterlife, or something to that nature. You know, or I don't know. Who the hell knows? You know, I mean, it's very fuzzy for knowing what that all means. But
it was a touching, well-acted scene. It was really, it really got you in the feels. That was more effective in the feels than the Michael and Ash one last episode, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was nice, and I don't know if we'll see of Culber, but if that is, it's a nice send-off other than his neck getting twisted. So
yes,
I was happy that happened. So back on the Pallas ship or the Charon, Giorgio can't see any reason to help Berman and the Discovery get back. But Berman knows that Giorgio loves, you know, her Berman and believes. But Giorgio thinks that the idea of the Federation represents a dangerous idea of everyone working together. And she explains how getting through interphasic space drove the Defiant crew insane. But she offers a trade that for Burma's freedom, for the schematics of the spore drive, you know, she'll let them live.
But my question is then what was Mir Stamets doing hanging out in the mycelial network if it wasn't the spore drive? Because it was the tardigrade originally in the spore drive, and then when the tardigrade got kind of burned out, then they threw Stamets into the spore drive. Mm-hmm. So how did Mir Stamets get into the mycelial network if there wasn't an original spore drive?
That's a good question. I feel the same way. But he said they're both the mushroom scientists.
Field.
Yeah, they're both of the same field, but
astromycologist or something.
Yeah,
astromycologist. Yeah, there's possibilities that maybe he did get the tardigrade and maybe he killed it by accident, but then realized that he can use himself as the interface to the spore drive. So maybe he made all the conclusions. He
doesn't have the implants in his arms.
No, but you know, who knows?
They're used to pain.
Yeah, just put it in my arm. I don't care.
Yeah, now he's got a weird other kind of fungus on his arm instead.
Yeah, yeah. Back on the Discovery, Saru basically shows Laurel what Tyler is doing to break his restraints. He's clawed up his own chest.
Here's my iPad. Look at Tyler.
I thought that was really like some kind of like doctored image.
I just thought that was Klingon masturbation, but I mean, I could be wrong. Laurel still refuses to help, so then he
beams Tyler in. Tyler
Kyle Rayner's cell, and then she says only she can undo, but by her hand. So
sounds like a trick.
Yeah, it sounds like a dirty Klingon trick.
The whole thing feels like a trick, and I felt like, you know, her refusing to help him was what she wanted. That she just ended up in the cell with him. I thought that's what she wanted, and then I'll do surgery on him. This whole scene doesn't make a lot of sense to me, unless she was trying to free Vok, but it looks like she kills Vok in the next scene.
Something to do with those weird gloves of hers.
Well, yeah. She's doing brain surgery.
She's doing something, but I mean, but still, it did look like she killed Vok, but I think Vok's still in there. I don't know. I could be wrong.
That Vulcan death. Scream.
Oh, yeah, the Klingon. Yeah. Klingon death scream.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, but...
Go ahead, Aaron.
Maybe she's just doing that to, you know, fool everybody.
That's what I was
thinking. Why would they know about the Klingon's howling death ritual?
Well, they're Federation. They're smart people. They're not dummies, so...
I felt like they were even surprised when Worf did it in Next Gen. I don't think any of these people would know.
Well, that's Next Gen. They don't care. They're all living and they're walking around in their floating Marriott. They're in a cushy life. This isn't... This is Star Trek Discovery. This is, like, tough people, man.
I just don't understand why they would just dead-end the Ash Vok thing. We just got the reveal and then you don't do anything with it? This has got to be... I hope it's another misdirection. Because
it does other times, so...
Because, I mean, because everything has been misdirection. You know, the Ash Vok thing, they were trying to, like, that was misdirection for us not to look too closely at Lorca.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got the Lorca reveal, and now there's more misdirection with Ash Vok, maybe. I hope Vok isn't dead, because then that would you know, kill that Deep Space Nine theory where he's the albino in Deep Space Nine, and a whole bunch of other fun theories that go out the window if they really kill Vok. And then I hope Vok's not dead. That's weird.
So back on the Charon, the palace ship, one of the Terran officers tells that Lorca that all of his loyalists been rounded up, and he threatens Lorca to put some weird, I don't know, it wasn't poison, it was some kind of
DNA from another
room or something like that. Yeah, because his sister died. So Lorca was dating his sister, and then he dumped her, and then he killed her or something. I'm not really sure what that was all about. But he was pretty pissed off that he killed his sister.
It's like, what's her name? It's like, there's so many women. I was holding on to the fact that I was hoping that he was still regular Lorca, because Lorca wouldn't know.
Yeah, because he would know.
Yeah.
He's so committed to the role.
He doesn't care. He says, just say his name, and he saved me. He's like, I don't know, you know. He's just committed
to the fact that he didn't know.
I think I felt that way, too, until what happens afterwards. So then he does kill the loyalist, the Lorca loyalist, and...
he explodes.
It kind of gave me a Dark Matter feeling. Like we could find a really horrible way for you to die. But at least it was a short death. It wasn't like days and weeks.
He turned inside out.
It seemed pretty awful, though.
And then exploded.
Seems pretty awful. But at least
Lorca might still have some of that anesthetic in his system. Might not be so bad.
Maybe. I don't know.
But, I don't know. Exploding seems not fun.
Yeah. Well, and this is after that, we get the scene where Laurel is working on Tyler, and then she lets out the death cry, but we already touched on that. And then
he was speaking in Klingon through the whole surgery, and then all of a sudden he starts speaking in English.
But my problem, honestly, is I have kids around, so I have my closed captioning on. So then I have the speaking the Vulcan, and then the captioning in English, the translation, and then the closed captioning on top of that saying speaking in Vulcan on top of the Vulcan word. So I think kind of rethink the who's watching the show and where they're putting the words at.
Yeah, I you know what, I do that too, just because sometimes I got to turn it down for whatever reasons, and it's like, you know, like the closed captions all over the place for this. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the Klingon's fine, but the rest of it's kind of weird.
Yeah, just how it's all over each other, because I have kids, so I can't hear all the time, so it's like I have to watch instead of listen.
But the interesting thing about him switching from Klingon to English, the train of thought was still the same. So maybe she only killed part of Vok?
Or maybe she didn't at all. I mean, I don't know. That's yet to be revealed. I mean, maybe we'll get just a young chipper, Ash Tyler, for the rest of the series.
I think she's like masking him, or he's hiding in her gloves, or she transferred his consciousness to herself. But I think she's just, let's make him look Tyler enough that they're going to like let him go and let him wander off again. And then he's going to flip.
Yeah,
I hope so. I hope there's some Klingon treachery happening here. I hope she didn't just kill Vok. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because all this buildup and then they just kill him after the reveal. I'm like, wow, that doesn't make a lot of sense narratively.
Right. Well, back in the Mycelium Network, Stamets and Culber are in their room, and they're going over like when Stamets was holding Culber, and you know, like you said, we want things the way they were, and they're brushing their teeth. But then Culber tells Stamets that the mirror universe Stamets is the one who's corrupting the network, and the corruption is spreading and destroying everything. So he kind of gets the warning from Culber. So Culber gives him the clue, but it says you're in a coma. All you have to do is open your eyes.
His eyes are already open. They've been open like this whole time.
Well, I mean, I think I meant just wake up from.
No, I kind of giggled at that. Like, I'm like, his eyes are literally already open.
Your eyes are open.
They gotta go spray it down because he's not blinking. Yep. Moisten his eyes with clear eyes.
Very dewy, though.
Right. Well, here's the weird thing. So tell me if I'm wrong about this. So did our Stamets, the Prime Stamets, wake up in Stamets on the Charon sickbay? Because that's where it seemed like he woke up, but I could be wrong.
No, both of them woke up at the same time.
Yeah, but did they switch places?
No.
All right, I got the impression maybe they did, but it's very confusing because they both woke up, and because when he says all you have to do is open your eyes,
you're making me think now.
We see mirror universe Stamets wake up right away. He goes, you know, I'm back or something like that. So maybe that's fine. I don't know. We don't know yet. I misread that.
But when R. Stamets wakes up, he says, I know Culber's dead. He wants to look into the corruption. Because I don't think the mirror Stamets cares about the corruption. Because he's obviously the one that created the corruption that's happening in
You could be right. Mexico you could be Network. Right.
So Stamets is trying to fix it because they go and look at the spores and they're all dead. And I'm like,
or they're dying.
Yeah. And that's weird. It's like no one's checked the spore room in like days.
Hey, Tilly, what have you been doing?
Come on, like, Tilly. Come on. Go look in the spore room.
I know you're acting captain, but, you know, y'all there have got other things to do.
Awesome haircuts. I, like, love the haircuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's been spending a lot of time with the Bolian.
Yeah, exactly. So Berman plots a rendezvous course with the Discovery, and Georgia tells Berman that the Miri Lorca helped raise Berman and that that when she was older, they became romantic. And then she starts replaying in her head all the things that Lorca had said to her through.
I can't believe I didn't see it.
Well, it's hard. How are you going to piece all those things together, you know?
Well, they were doing the whole, I think we weren't looking for it because we were preoccupied with the Ash Bach thing for so long.
Right. But he said, yeah, he did a little montage and she said that she groomed you and he saying things like, you know, what was that? None of this was an accident and that he chose you for different reasons.
He believes in fate.
Yeah. So very, very interesting how that all tied together.
How did he get to the Prime Universe in the first place? Like,
we don't know. Maybe that's the keyhole to get back home.
I'm assuming so, but yeah, that raises a lot of questions, the fact that Lorca is Mira Lorca.
And then we get some weird thing that was never been said with Mirror Universe before, is apparently
it's
everyone
there?
From Mirror Universe is sensitive to light.
Which, so. I mean, I don't know why they could even function on Deep Space. Then they just beam in, and I don't know why they didn't all of a sudden be blinded.
I don't know. Deep Space Nine is always kind of dark.
It's a little, I mean, it's Cardassian, but it's still a TV show. It's very evenly lit compared to the movies and
compared to TOS, where it's a nice bright set, you know.
Oh, and TNG were a super bright set as well.
We never saw TNG.
Oh, sorry. When Mirror Stamets came over to Prime, did he swap, or not Stamets, I'm sorry, Lorca. Did he swap with Lorca, or are there two Lorcas in the Mirror Universe, or did that one, like, die like they thought? I'm just wondering if there's another Gabriel Hunt hiding around somewhere.
I hope there is, because I don't want Star Trek Discovery to exist without Lorca being alive, and I'm scared that the fact that this Lorca is Mirror Lorca, I'm scared he's going to be cannon fodder. I mean, maybe the real Lorca is still alive somewhere, but I'm guessing he went down with the Bran, and Lorca just pretended that he escaped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously Berman realizes that her Lorca is actually Mirror Lorca. So that was basically your fear in the end, Dave, that Lorca was a Mirror Lorca.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why he acts so sneaky. He's always underhanded.
I just really want him to be Section 31. I'm just so annoyed that he's Mira, because I feel like it's making things too complicated for one season. They've already had like the thing with Ash, but it seems like they're throwing that away. Like the entire thing feels like it was a smokescreen for Lorca. And I'm just like, why? I mean, just, I don't know.
Right, right. And that's basically where we end off. Basically, Lorca had broken out of his agonizer chamber, and it seems like he's on the loose.
Yeah, he kills the captain of the ship, and once he steps on his head, he's like, yeah, your sister's name was this.
He says, yeah, I liked her, but, you know, something better came along. So, and that was the end of it. So that's the end of the show. So what were your takeaways from this exciting episode of Discovery?
Start with you, Angel.
I was OMGing all over the place, but my idea is like, is there some kind of ulterior kind of plan here, or is Berman really going to team up with Mirror Giorgio to somehow kind of overthrow other things? And like, is it the best of both, the least evil? Like, I don't understand why she opened her mouth in the first place and just spilled everything. There had to be some kind of ulterior motive or some kind of plot that she was running here.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean,
she was gonna die and she really just spilled her guts.
I think she just played her hand as best as she could because she was going to die. And she was like, I have one last chip I can bargain with.
But was this a pre-planned chip? Did she already think, in case I was found out? Because you have to think, if you're playing somebody else, there's a pretty good chance you're not going to do a good job of someone you don't know and you might get found out. Did she already have this plan in her pocket?
Oh, they definitely Chekhov-gunned it because they had the Giorgio's pen at the very beginning of the episode and they pull it out in the second act. So they definitely used the principle of Chekhov's gun with that.
So I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing where this goes from here. And is this going to stay in the Mirror Universe for a few more episodes, or are we going to wrap this up fairly quickly?
Well, there's only 3 episodes left of the season. So, I mean, we're at least in the Mirror Universe for another full episode, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, or at least good part of it before they get home, if they do get home by next episode.
I really hope so, because I want to see what's going on in the real universe.
Is Giorgio related to Hoshi in any way?
I don't think so. We're not getting any of that information.
It's just
she's Asian. She's Asian. She's Asian, and maybe, but who knows?
I was kind of hoping there'd be a lineage thing, because it just seems astronomical that you'd have an Asian empress, something else, and then another Asian empress if they weren't biologically related. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems like a kind of a far reach for that to happen, since I assume the empire is basically whoever kills the emperor becomes the next emperor, you know, a la Roman Empire.
Right.
So,
but it's like they mentioned the Defiant, which is great, but I would have liked some more tie-ins to the other series. Just a little, maybe a few more name drops or some plot drops.
Yeah, but I mean, we haven't seen the Defiant yet, and I mean, maybe it'll come by next episode, but you know, but just the fact that they name dropped the Defiant into the Mirror Universe is you know, a huge thing for Enterprise and for the original series. So I don't know.
I mean, they're definitely talking Tholian web stuff, because they talked about the that
interspatial
phase, interphasic space that made them all go crazy. So I mean, they're definitely referencing some good classic Star Trek here, which is fantastic.
And if Mirror Stamets and Prime Stamets are the same person, even though he doesn't have the, you know, the special connections in his arm, can Mirror Stamets get onto the Prime ship and operate the spore drive?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's the next thing is what's Mir Stamets' play now that he's back on his ship on the Palace ship? If that is Mir Stamets on the Palace ship, so
they spend enough time on his storyline that he should fit into the next episode or in a few next episodes in some kind of big way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like there's barely any Tilly in this episode.
Dave, what's your takeaways from this episode?
I enjoyed it a lot more than The Wolfenside. It was fun, well-written. It felt faster. It felt like they were doing more with the time they were given, even though it was a shorter time. I'm disappointed that Lorca's from Mirror Universe. I'm scared they're going to kill him, because he's by far my favorite character on the show. And like we're talking about with the Vok thing, I'm disappointed if Vok is really dead, because it just seems like a huge part of the plot line of the show has been is he Vok or not? They finally revealed it, and then they just dead end that plot line the episode later. I'm like, that didn't go anywhere.
I don't think that's where they're ending it. They can't end Vok that fast, because if he's the reason, the way they're going to fix the Klingon War, or if he's like some kind of part when they get back to Prime Universe, I don't know. I can't believe that he's dead.
That's what I was thinking last time, that they'd use him as a bargaining chip in place of T'Kuvma, since T'Kuvma's gone. But it looks like if they killed Vok, I don't know what's happened. I don't know if he was like there to be like a smokescreen for the majority of the season, that's crazy dedication to a smokescreen.
Right. Or maybe we bring back Vok from the Emir universe, and he comes back and hitches a ride back to Prime.
Yeah, they could do so much. But I mean, I know we're going to be in the Emir universe for at least one more episode. I think they're going to be there for a full episode. We may not even get back until the second to last, or we may never get back at this point. Who knows?
Star Trek Emir universe.
Or maybe they just bounce back and forth between different parallel universes. Who knows?
And if Stamets can't stop Mira Stamets's corruption through the mycelial network might be damaged forever. Might collapse, and that's why they don't ever use it again. And then so that also busts my Section 31 theory, where that's how Sloan got around. But Sloan never had a spaceship. They said there was not any transporter residue in Bashir's quarters. So the spore, you know, a portable spore drive for these guys makes perfect sense. And then if they're going to kill that plot line too, I'm just like, I don't know. You had all these great ties and you're killing them.
I'm like looking at it from like a medical perspective of the spore drive has some type of infection. Is there some type of treatment or spore drive antibiotic or something they can do to treat this at all?
Well, I mean,
Culver and Stamets kind of were a couple. There's another culvert out there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, they keep leaning on the mushroom science, and you know, mushrooms are supposed to be very self-healing. And last episode they said, you know, they're the one things that meld both life and death. So maybe that's how Culver was in there too. Maybe since mushrooms, you know, thrive in death and in life, maybe something.
I was thinking
something
there's a treatment for these damaged spores, because you know he opens up the bay and they're all damaged. It's like, well, how are we going to get back now? Because how are we going to run the spore drive? Even though they had enough spores to treat Stamets, but those were in those little tubes in the wall.
Right, yeah. Right. But possibly, maybe you scrap what's in the actual discovery, and you regrow them. And it might take a couple of years, but get a new culture grown.
In the preview, it looked like Stamets was like taking some medicine to him, so maybe he can recover some of them. What about you, Aaron? What are your takeaways for this episode? What surprised you and didn't?
I don't think the Lorca thing surprised me as much. I know it was what you were holding out that was not going to be the case, but it just felt more and more it was going down that road.
I wasn't super surprised. I don't think the Lorca thing surprised me. I just didn't want it to go that way. But, you know, more and more it looked like it was going to. So I wasn't surprised. I just didn't want it to happen.
Yeah. The Mirror Universe thing, like I said, I always had a little bit of issue about it. It's not like it's not a fun romp through the woods to see what happens in a Mirror Universe. But it's always been one of those things, like, it just doesn't make a lot of logical sense to me. But it's... To me right now, and it's just me, it just seems like it's dragging a little bit too much in the Mirror Universe. I want him to get out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some people love the Mirror Universe and this, they're in their glory. That's cool. It's not my favorite. I kind of thought it'd be maybe a 2-episode thing and then they'd bounce out, but it looks like they're going to stay there. So
yeah, but the longer they're there, the longer that the Prime Universe doesn't have the Klingon cloaking technology too.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
But as of last episode, it's only been 48 hours. So it's only been like 3 or 4 days max.
Well, no, I get that on their side, but on my side, it's taking a little longer.
I completely agree with you, Aaron. I like Mirror Universe for like 1 or 2 episode jaunts, but the fact that we're going to be in there for 4 full episodes back to back.
I mean, the Deep Space Nine Mirror Universe has always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. They're just kind of weird, you know, so.
Yeah, they were just weird one-offs, and I my problem with the Deep Space Nine Mirror episodes was that, like, I just didn't like how everything had reversed and how, you know, everything just fell apart because of Spock and Kirk from the original TOS episode. It just didn't feel like the Mirror Universe anymore. It just felt weird. Like, Sisko was weird, and O'Brien was weird, and Kira was into herself.
In the older series, the characters were more fleshed out before they hit the Mirror Universe, and you got to see their alter egos. We only, after, you know, 7-8 episodes, we only know these characters so much, and then we're expected to kind of look at these flipped versions of them, and now we can't even figure out who's who anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And even Lorca, now that we're seeing that he was always been the Mirror Lorca, makes it much more interesting that he's just, you know, has no scruples.
Looks so weak because she's just been able to be manipulated by everybody. You know, she's manipulated by Georgiou as her quote-unquote daughter. In this universe, Lorca just hopped on in and just somehow talked her into doing whatever he wanted. She's looking to be weaker and weaker as a female character.
Well, at least in the Mirror Universe.
But I mean, this was Prime Burnham that was manipulated by Mirror Lorca.
Yeah, well,
he fell right into all of his plans.
I think everybody did, though. Even Admiral Cornwall.
Yeah,
Cornwall.
Saru with his ganglia didn't sense that threat.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is, I do enjoy the Stamets. I really like Stamets back. I really enjoyed the Culber Stamets, kind of, if that's their last goodbye or however that was. I wasn't really, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but it felt really nice to see them, you know, make that last connection. Because when I saw Culber die like that, I was like, oh, that's so brutal just to kill him like that, and then we'll never see him again. So
yeah,
we have Dr. Pulaski thing. Season 2, we get a new chief medical officer.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, we just don't know. But interesting. But it was good to see that. And I think Dave said, like, and I felt the same way. It was a really good scene between the two actors and characters. So
I just have so much of a problem with Lorca being from the Mirror Universe. I feel like he's got to have some kind of time reset thing like Harry Mudd does, because everything had to fall in such perfect place for everything to work out just the way it did, just for them to get back to the Mirror Universe. Like,
so Jump Universe went back in time too.
I don't think he is for real, but for his plan to work, I feel like he must have had to try it a couple times for everything to work out the way it needed to work out, for him to get back to where he is right now to try to take over the Mirror Universe. Mm-hmm. Just so much happenstance. And the fact that he's willing to go into the Agonizer booth, it's just hard to believe that his plan worked that perfectly.
And what does it mean for a character like Lorca that means that he's the mirror, he's kind of the evil version of Lorca? It takes a Mirror Universe Lorca to start winning the war against the Klingons.
Ooh.
You know, we're not about the angels of our better nature. We're talking about what's evil about humankind, and it takes that evil to win the war or get close to win the war, you know?
Yeah. So it's definitely an interesting thought to, you know, you needed like the evil racist person to help win the war. But maybe real Orca could have been shady too. It just raises so many more questions about how Lorca is presented, because the reason I thought he had unilateral control and able to break any of the rules he wanted to was because I thought he was Section 31, and that would make perfect sense for him to have, you know, full all this control, being able to keep Tyler, be able to, you know, confiscate Michael out of middle of nowhere. Just he had the power because they wanted him to win the war. And so I thought that was also part of Section 31's, you know, don't give a fuck attitude.
Well, and maybe that's still the case, Dave. So maybe Mirror Universe is part of Section 31 still, and he used that as leverage to do whatever he wants even further. But the other question is, on top of that, so maybe Prime Lorca is still alive, and he reversed roles with him, and somehow Prime Lorca was always in hiding in the Terran Empire trying to escape. Because remember, the Lorca went against the Emperor and tried to usurp the Emperor. So maybe the Prime Lorca came into that universe and was trying to get rid of Giorgio because he knew that the whole thing was evil and was trying to fix it.
Yeah, there's a time frame issue, because obviously, you know, Lorca's using the excuse of the Battle of the Binary Stars for the eye issue. So we know that he came in sometime before that, but how long has he been here or there?
Right. Right. Well, at least since Michael Berman's been on the ship, as far as we know. I mean, because he's had the eye sensitivity since we first met him. So.
Yeah. How far back are we going? Are we going back weeks, years?
Or maybe when his old ship, as Harry Mudd brought out, that he abandoned ship and he saved himself and let the rest of the crew die.
And I have a really hard time buying that Mirror Lorca would lose against Harry Mudd so many times.
Well, oh, I love that montage. Like, how many ways can you die?
Yeah, but I mean, that's a possibility. It's a possibility that, you know, Harry Mudd was diabolical enough and had everything worked out in his favor that you wouldn't catch it. And it was only because we had Mirror Stamets that they kept repeating that thing.
Yeah. So,
not Mirror Stamets, Mycelium Stamets.
Yeah. Tardigrade Stamets.
Tardigrade Stamets.
Tardis Stamets. That sounds mean.
That's not, yeah.
Yeah, just say all of tardigrade. Don't say tardy. That gets into uncomfortable territory. But I wanted to bring out something interesting that I watched at one of Trek Yard's recent videos. They do one like almost every day. I can't remember which one it was called. But they were postulating that what if, like the thing with Stamets, what if they reset time and they go back before the Battle of the Binary Stars? And that way all the deaths pretty much get erased. And that way most of the season gets erased. But Michael somehow still remembers, you know, the things that happen so they can stop, you know, Lorca from going into the time.
Or the crew remembers.
Yeah, or the crew. And then they can stop, you know, the Klingon War from happening. They can, you know, negotiate with the Kuvma and then, you know, stuff, you know, have it turn a different way. That way all your characters could still be alive. You could get Culber back. You could get, you know, Philippa Georgiou back. You could keep Lorca.
It's interesting.
It's interesting, but I think that would be incredibly ballsy for them to basically.
So you're throwing away a bunch of shows.
You know, I think it would be
backwards and then start over again.
Yeah, but the
like a dream scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it might be an interesting way to reset things and fix everything. I don't think they're going to go that way because Discovery seems to be predicated on making mistakes and trying to right those mistakes, no matter how egregious they may be.
It just feels really ballsy for them to, if they're going to try and do like retcon an entire season right after you've done it. Because, like, you know, some of the best episodes are non sequiturs, like Year of Hell Part 1 and 2 and Voyager. Those are great episodes, but they're meaningless because it didn't really happen. So,
you know. They mentioned it though later on in terms of the temporal incursions and that when, oh God, was it Commander Braxton?
Yeah.
Captain Braxton? He talked about how many times Voyager had appeared in their issues with the timeline. So they it still kind of appears in future episodes.
Well, references.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but there's been lots of time travel things with them. But I don't think they can't pin that on Voyager because Voyager didn't. The guy was doing the time travel with his
gun. Yeah, but they still say, you showed up. You showed up on our radar.
Well, yeah, but they messed with the time travel a whole lot of other times other than Year of Hell.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Love it, though.
But, yeah, it's just really, it'd be crazy if they did that. And, you know, it'd be kind of nice to get some of the characters back so you can get to know them and you can get the real Ash Tyler back. You can have real Vok. You can have real Takuvma. You know, it would be an interesting way of doing it. You can keep Lorca in, but maybe you could get Lorca thrown in jail or, you know, held by Section 31.
We like real Ash Tyler because the Ash Tyler we grew to know was the one that was like bond with Takuvma, was the ultimate soldier and was the chief of security. And that might not be his real personality. He might be a big dud.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I mean, it's an interesting thought. I thought that was an interesting thought. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I kind of hope it doesn't. But it would be interesting if it did.
It's an interesting theory. I don't know if that's I don't know where that's the direction that Discovery is going. I think Discovery, like I said, is pushing these like really broken characters and where they're going. I mean, it's funny when you think of like the original series. Well, actually, from the original series, maybe skipping Deep Space Nine and into Voyager, you see really well-formed characters who are, you know, from the Academy and they're awesome people. You know, if it's from, you know, Kirk to Spock to Picard and Riker and, you know, to Janeway. I mean, these are really morally upright and they don't seem to really. People. Yeah, they don't seem like they don't fuck things up. They're all there. And it just, we don't see that so much with Discovery. Everyone's a little messed up. Saru's a little bit of, you know, pees his pants when things go wrong, you know. Michael Berman is, you know, she's grappling with bad choices she made. And they weren't, you know, when you're, you know, there's no way you could change that, the choices she made, because it seemed like the most logical thing to do at the moment.
Well, maybe if they flash back before the Battle of the Binary Stars, I mean, it would be really interesting to see that turn. I can't remember where I was going to go with that.
Well, it would be interesting to see that turn where, you know, they get to that, to the system of the Binary Stars, and they see the ship, and she goes, well, it's a Klingon ship. Let's leave it alone. Kind of, you know. Let's not bother with them. So
it would. I remember where I was going to go. It would fix the weird inconsistencies with canon, because the Klingon War should have been a lot longer ago than 10 years before the Enterprise went out. Because Kirk and the episode where don't run off with Martha's legs. He says he read about Garth of Izar's. I can't remember the real name of the episode. So I mentioned Arnor.
We're able to remember the other episodes here on Discovery because the names are so long.
To whom gods destroy. Yeah. So
no, I just mean any of the other ones.
Sure. But in that episode, he talks to Garth and how he said he read about his exploits during the Klingon War when he was at the Academy. And Kirk should be on the Farragut at this point, not in the Academy. So like the war should have happened earlier. Them retconning that would make that make more sense.
Yeah, that's the one thing is Kirk would probably be a cadet or maybe a lieutenant at this point, or maybe even an ensign. But he wouldn't be in the Academy.
And it would keep Michael from being a mutineer because Spock in one episode said there has been no Federation mutineers.
Yeah, that was on the Defiant one. That was the Tholian Web, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
That's when they said that. I think that was Tholian Web when Spock said that. I can't remember.
How would he forget that his own sister was a mutineer? So, you know, that would fix a lot of issues. A couple of the issues that seem inconsistent with canon if they were able to time loop it out. It would also prevent Stamets from being tied up with the tardigrade DNA. It would fix a lot of things.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're going to do that. I think they're rewriting the whole thing.
I don't know. They introduced in the first few episodes all these characters. I'm not fleshing out characters like in Next Gen with O'Brien going over Deep Space Nine. Sometimes it took years to flesh out some of these characters, but is it Demeter and that like augmented human? Because I thought it was an android, but really the android was in the future with Data, like all these characters have kind of like vanished. Well, I mean, Demeter showed up in the last episode, but you know, they're not stepping up or really working out any of these characters. Are they going to work them out in the future or are they just kind of background noise at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it feels like that way because, even with the original series, you didn't get like any real long scenes with Chekhov or Sulu, but they had their scenes still. I mean, you didn't get much about the character, but you got a little bit about them. You know, we only see them on the bridge and we don't see them anywhere else, you know, nothing else. There's no dialogue or anything with them. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It seems like a squandered, you know, storyline or something. No,
they're going for some reason, unless it was just to fill space on all the cons.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it may be, and maybe we'll get to know them more in other seasons. I mean, maybe when a season is a little bit less arc focused, even though they have said all the seasons are supposed to have an arc, maybe if they're not as hard in their arc, maybe we can get more character stories from other characters. Because, you know, we've talked about this many times in the show before, where it feels like the show's following a really small cast.
My issue is like I can sit down and turn on TV and catch an episode of Voyager or catch an episode of Next Gen and watch episode for what it is. And that these are so arc, you really have to totally follow them in sequence and would this, I mean, obviously they have to cut out the Klingon boobs, but would this ever be syndicated? And how can you syndicate one random episode at a time?
No.
I doubt it's for the online streaming platform. I don't think they're ever going to syndicate it. It's exclusive to online.
And TV's changed. They're serializing everything now. I mean, except maybe some sitcoms and some other, you know, like, you know, TV cop shows where they just investigate a new murder every week or something like that. It seems like it's all like, it's a serialized stories more and more. And people like that, too.
I guess like Walking Dead or something, you know?
Yeah, Walking Dead, Game of Stranger Things.
Well,
yeah.
The thing is with the Klingon boobs, I mean, she's fully prostheticked over. I mean, you can't really see anything that's nudity to us, to people. Because, I mean, there's all these like weird ridges and bumps and stuff all over. You don't even know if you see a nipple.
Well, where are the boobs when there's like Klingon boobs and then she puts on her prison jumpsuit and there's like no boobs?
Yeah.
Maybe she's got a sports bra underneath there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, you know, I mean, just the violence alone is pretty gruesome. I mean, those scenes where Ash Tyler is being tortured and cut to pieces. I mean,
puts on some rough stuff, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. But I'm saying it's like I don't think you'd see that on a syndicated show. I think
maybe 40 years when I'm a little old lady, maybe I'll turn on the old network and there'll be some old episodes of Discovery, like, you know, rerunning, you know, and they'll just crop out all the prosthetic news.
I don't know. I think by the time we're old people, I don't think TV is going to be TV anymore.
I think it's going to be the Running Man show, you know, but it'll be more realistic, you know, with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I just think everything is going to be net connected. I don't think TV is going to come to your house like through a cable line anymore. It'll just be like everything's web-based in the future.
Yeah, right.
I guess I didn't think about my future that much.
I'm a technology nerd. I, I, I don't think TV's going to work the same way in another 20, 30 years. Everything's going, you know, just with CBS All Access, you know, having to pay for CBS to watch Star Trek Discovery on their online platform. Everything's going to be going to that. So I think everything is going to be like a pay-per-view channel where it's just you subscribe to it online.
I think it's going to break down to shows, Dave. I think it's going to be what shows you're going to pay for.
Oh, wow.
You know,
even further ingrained than that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, like, you know, if you want to watch Walking Dead, Discovery, and Game of Thrones, you only pay for those three.
Nah, there's too much money to be made if they sell the whole channels. I don't know. Maybe they could sell shows.
Could be. I think that's a good model, too, because then you just you separate the wheat from the chaff from that, and you get, you know.
You got to bait it with a few free ones, though, because you can't – nobody's going to pay for something that – well, I guess CBS All Access Discovery. Most people wouldn't pay for something they've never seen before.
But that's the thing. In the future, I think everything is going to be an app. So every channel is going to be an app. So it's not going to – it's going to be totally – a la carte in the future.
I'll be a little late. You can't figure it out.
Hey, I'm just going to say I saw that Maury Povich has his own app. I don't know what's on that app, but Maury Povich has his own app. So he has like you can watch just his show and maybe whatever he has extra thrown on there. So
his YouTube channel stuff.
No, it's really weird. So I was like, I don't know what that is, but that's really weird. So
sure. So yeah, this was an interesting episode. It was fun. Had a couple surprises, a couple expectations, and really interested to see where it's going to go from here. Any predictions?
Yeah. Oh, predictions on my end. I'm hoping Discovery, you know, hightails it back to Prime Universe by the end of next episode. It'll be out of skin of their teeth. They'll probably have enough mycelium networked, you know, plants to get through. And maybe the mycelium network on their end will collapse and they will never be able to use it again, you know. And maybe we'll get Prime Lorca back. I don't know.
I hope we do. But we saw Landry in the preview for next week, so we know she'll be in the next episode.
Right.
Well, we love Prime Lorca as much as we love Mira Lorca, though.
Yeah, maybe he's a pussycat.
Oh, man. I don't know. I just want to love Lorca. Lorca is like my favorite character. Do you have any predictions for next week, Angel?
I just feel like somehow Burnham's going to get burned. Like, you know, she's trading
she
all
gets burned
this.
Every episode.
I know, but it's just like, why would she keep on walking into this? Like, well, we'll trade some information. We'll trade. She's not going to trade her engine schematics. That's just stupidity. But somehow she's going to get played by somebody if it's not Giorgio or Lorca. And I still feel like this, like, you know, they really showed that circle, Isaac. Like, he got that anesthetic, like, ding in his neck, and this it's still kicking on. They could be hitting him with Cleon pain sticks, and it's not going to phase. I mean, he's going to be able to, like, bust through. And he's going to be doing something, like, really serious this next episode.
Well, it looks like from the previews that Lorca is going to, you know, somehow overthrow Giorgio. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it looks like that's what they alluded to.
Yeah, but that's the whole, like, which evil are you going to pick? Is she going to side with, obviously, evil Giorgio just to somehow not get evil Lorca in charge? Like, she's got to pick the least of the evils.
Well, are you going to live with Hitler or Stalin? Still bad, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how next episode's going to go. I'm with you, Aaron. I really hope that next week is the last Mirror Universe episode for at least a season or two. And
make your way back home.
Yeah, I don't want half of every season for them to be stuck in the Mirror Universe. That would get tiresome, kind of like the DS9 episodes got. I was like, okay, one or two was fun, but they did five in Deep Space Nine.
I'm surprised Next Gen did the naked now and did the sequels and that they never went back to the Mirror Universe. Yeah. I mean, Voyager, I can see why they didn't, but like, I'm surprised that they had the original series, they had the Mirror Universe, they went to Next Gen, they didn't do Mirror Universe, they went to DS9, they're like, oh, hey, let's try it out. They did Voyager, like, no, let's not. And then they go to Enterprise, and they're like, hey, let's bring it back again.
I don't know why they never made that choice for Next Generation, but I don't know. Mirror Universe is fun. It's a fun thing. Like, I think, honestly, the two best Mirror Universes I enjoyed was the original series and the Enterprise two-parter. Mm-hmm. Those were the most fun for me.
I agree. Those are the most. Although, Despite Yourself was fantastic. Despite Yourself was right up there with them.
I'm not counting this. Yeah, but Despite Yourself was pretty amazing. Yeah, for Discovery. Yeah, right. Anything else for predictions?
No, I just really hope they get back next episode. I hope we see Landry somehow come back with them. I hope Lorca comes. Maybe Lorca just wants to. I guess he wants to be. He wants to stay. I don't know. I just don't want Lorca to stay. I want Lorca to come back. But looks like Saru becomes actual captain, since Saru's like, this is no longer Lorca's ship. This is our ship in the next episode. So that's interesting.
What about Defiant? Will we see Defiant?
Oh God, I hope we see the Defiant. They've been teasing it for the last three episodes. We better freaking see it.
I know. It would be cool if we did see a, you know, Constitution class starship, even if it is modified or changed.
I'd love to see them bring it to the Prime Universe. Just bring it back.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going back to the Prime Universe, like Georgiou's gone, Cornwall's gone, all the strong female characters.
Cornwall's not gone.
I'm sorry.
She said she was expected to make a full recovery.
Okay, and. Yeah. Then we're bringing Burnham back, and she just seems like a weaker character. And
I don't think she's a weaker character. I really don't. I don't share that view. I think the Mirror Universe seemed like a weaker character, but I think this, she's doing her best to become a chameleon within the Mirror Universe and play whatever she can.
What is Mirror Discovery doing right now in the Prime Universe? Like,
I don't know.
I want to see what they're doing. I wouldn't mind.
Are they all like, what's going on? Or are they like raising hell? Or are they just attacking people because they still think they're in their universe? Or are they starting a new war that the primary is going to show back up and they're going to be in the middle of like, what did these people do?
They started a war with the Romulans.
A war with the Vulcans. I mean, like,
you know, let's not change the logic.
The logic extremist, I mean, that would make the logic extremist come out in a big way. You could tie that back in if she's starting wars, which is another reason why it might be a good idea for them to reset the entire thing. Because if Mirror Discovery has been running amok in our universe for 3 days, I mean, or 4 days by now, who knows what they've done?
Yeah. I don't know, but that's all killed a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe who knows, but I'm definitely a lot more excited for looking forward to next week than I was looking forward to this week. But I do hope we get a Mirror Universe conclusion.
Yeah, it's kind of, to me, it's kind of dragged itself out just a little too far. And it's not that I hate what I'm seeing. It's just, I don't enjoy it as much. I guess my thing has always been with Star Trek. The conflict and the battles are fun, but I still want a little bit of real, you know, exploration and seeing what else is out there, and new civilizations and stuff like that. We're not seeing a lot of that.
Well, I don't think we're going to see that till next season, honestly.
Right.
Well, I mean, if they're floating around the Mirror Universe, I mean, they're going to explore, but they're going to run into the same species that are in the Prime Universe, just doing something different.
Look, more humans, more humans, more humans. Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see how it goes. Well, thank you, Angel, for joining us. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It was a lot of fun. Talk over some Discovery.
Thank you.
Do you want anyone to find you on the social medias? You can let them know here.
Oh, I don't. I just only have my own Facebook page. I don't have any type of fan page or anything like that. I mean, I do. I mean, I go to Comic-Cons and I cosplay, but I don't have a page for that yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, let us know if you ever decide to change that.
And Angel's part of our group, so you might see her hop up here and there.
Oh yeah, I've been following for a while. I enjoy it quite a bit, listening to the podcast and that when I have time. I don't have the apps to listen to podcasts. I usually kind of throw it on YouTube and listen to it, you know, while I'm doing housework or something, hanging out with the kids. And cool. I have an extremely long drive to work, so it's over an hour, so I can stream an episode on my way to work.
Ooh, that's rough.
Through the speakers.
Nice.
Right, through the speakers.
Through the speakers. Gotta specify that.
You can hear us yelling strange things all the time, huh?
Oh, I enjoy it. I love the episodes, the recaps, the predictions. It thoroughly, and then the side chatter. I quite enjoy that.
The dick jokes.
Aesthetic jokes, whatever jokes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you.
Thank you so much. And for us, Synthaholics, you can find us at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. Our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at Warp11.com or on Twitter, Warp 11. Our intro is done by Dave Wilkes. Personally, my Twitter is at David_J_Duncan, and the show is at Synthaholic Duo.
I'm at Blackbird2004 on Twitter. And if you have a chance, please go to Apple's iTunes, give us a rate and review, preferably 5 stars, and write something nice about us. And also, if you have a chance, if you have a little money you could throw our way, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics, and that helps us just fund our site, and hopefully we can get more content out the more funding we get. So anything you could give us would be much appreciated.
Yes, that would help us out so very much. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, where I put out weekly drink videos, and we're doing an episode, a video episode for each Discovery episode. And those are staggered, so those will be coming out as soon as I can get to them.
Yes, Dave's working his fingers to the bone.
Yes, it's a lot of work. But
it's a lot of work.
I'm hoping it pays off, and I'm hoping everyone is enjoying the content that you can find there as well.
Very cool. And one last thing, if you do have a friend or somebody you know who into Star Trek or is into sci-fi or into just listening to podcasts, direct them our way. Word of mouth is a wonderful way to share the show.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all so very much for listening. Again, thank you, Angel, for joining us.
Oh, thank you guys for inviting me.
And thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
And we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
We did it.
Cool, we're done. We're done.
We did an episode of Discovery.
I seriously thought Cornwall was dead.
No, they said she was going to make a full recovery.
Yeah, she.
Jesus, yeah, that must have been like I had a little few too many, and I just missed that part.
This could be. There's plenty of times I thought something was different, and I was like, "Did that happen?" And they're like, "You know, Dave's like, no, that didn't happen." So, a couple times that's happened to me.
God, I can't wait to.
I must be the only person who was like completely surprised it was Mira Lorca. Like I heard people say like it's Mira Lorca, and I was like, "No way!" And then like I was like. Wrote just on my paper like OMG.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, it sounded like you cut off.
Yeah.
I was like, no, 3 weeks in a row.
Well,
the History Creeps curse is coming to us.
Don't say that.